Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, March 24th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe is committed to upholding the rule of law to lure foreign investment into the country.
The rule of law is very important in any legal system. It means that things become predictable.
The Tsvangirai MDC says the party will not participate in by-elections to fill parliamentary seats left vacant by its recent recall of 21 MDC renewal legislators.
We as the National Standing Committee, we are going to recommend to the National Council that we should uphold the resolution of Congress that we shall not participate in any election until such a time that the electoral reforms have been carried out.
And human rights lawyer Rumbidzai Dube says the government has an obligation to search for missing activist Itai Dzamara and reconcile him with his family. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa today assured a visiting top German official that Zimbabwe is committed to upholding the rule of law, saying this is critical if the country is to lure international investors, which the country so desperately needs. Ivan Chifera has details from Harare.
Addressing journalists after meeting the visiting German Foreign Office Director General for the Southern Africa and Sahel regions, George Schmidt, Mr. Chinamasa said Zimbabwe has prioritized maintaining the rule of law as the country re-engages the international community. This, he said, is important as investors want to invest in predictable and stable environments.
The rule of law is very important in any legal system. It means that things become predictable. It also means that any persons who are grieved by the system can have recourse to the law in a predictable manner. So it's a matter that is also very, very close to our heart, that as we try to woo investors to come back, they will need to come into a system, into a framework which is predictable, into a framework where they can have recourse to the law and find remedies.
The finance minister said his discussion with Schmidt focused on the restoration of political and economic relations between the two countries and also Zimbabwe's debt to international financial institutions and other countries. Zimbabwe, which has an external debt estimated at $10 billion, owes Germany more than $700 million. Chinamasa said the debt shows the level of economic cooperation between the two countries prior to economic sanctions slapped on Harare by the European Union in 2002, citing alleged vote rigging and rights abuses. Schmidt, who is in the country to attend a two-day conference on the constitution and its implementation, said it is important for Harare to maintain and respect the rule of law, adding Germany is willing to support the country in its constitutional alignment process.
The general framework and the rule of law is one critical factor for people from the private sector to actually get involved in the Zimbabwean economy, and it's upon the good initiative of the Zimbabwean government that can regulate and actually create the conditions and the framework that Zimbabwe, the country that has a lot to offer, can actually attract foreign investment.
He adds a successful process of constitutional alignment and economic reform will have a positive impact that will no doubt improve Germany's economic relationship with Zimbabwe. Schmidt said Germany would also be guided by Zimbabwe's re-engagement with organizations such as the International Monetary Fund and other international financial institutions. International investors are also worried by Zimbabwe's economic empowerment law, which compels foreign-owned companies to cede 51% of their shareholding to local blacks. Economic commentator Masimba Kuchera said it is encouraging that the government is now showing some willingness to uphold the rule of law, adding it is a clear sign of desperateness on the part of the government to lure international investors. Meanwhile, telecommunications giant Econet Wireless and grocery manufacturer National Foods today launched a new facility where EcoCash subscribers can send groceries to relatives and friends. The Eco Shopper service has various baskets of goodies ranging from $20 to $150. Recipients of the groceries will receive a text message on their mobile phones and take it to any National Foods depot across the country to collect their groceries. EcoCash executive Natalie Jawangwe said the sender will be charged the same tariff that is charged when sending money through EcoCash, adding the receiver will not be charged for receiving the groceries. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Zimbabwe today joined the rest of the world in marking the International Day of Truth with a call on the government to operationalize the Human Rights and National Peace and Reconciliation Commissions, which civil group leaders say will go a long way in helping Zimbabwe address human rights issues in the country. Arthur Chigoriwa reports from Chinoy.
The United Nations designated 24 March the International Day for the Right to the Truth concerning gross human rights violations and for the dignity of victims in 2010 to honor the memory of victims of gross and systematic rights violations and promote the importance of the right to truth and justice. Executive Director Abe Uchikomo of the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum, speaking in Chinoy today at an event to mark the day, said it was important for Zimbabwe, with its history of rights abuses, to commemorate today and to take steps to prevent further abuses. He said it is great that the new constitution provides a provision for the establishment of commissions that will help seek truth relating to some dark episodes of the country's history.
We've made, I think, some positive steps, especially when you look at the new constitution, which has put in place provisions for the establishment of commissions that will ensure the promotion and protection of human rights and democracy.
Chikomo said the government should speed up the operationalization of the commissions in line with the new constitution and the people's expectations.
Every day we are talking about the need to align the laws to the new constitution, the need to ensure transparency and accountability, and that's an ongoing kind of process.
But journalist and politician Dennis Kagone said that people may never know the truth about what happened in past atrocities in the country or what is happening now, saying the truth has been the biggest casualty of conflict in the country. Kagone thinks the commissions are a waste of money meant to provide jobs for those connected to the authorities.
We are wasting resources by establishing those kind of commissions, because at the end of the day, nothing will come up from those commissions. For example, there was a Gukura Hundi. There was the only commission which I think which worked properly here. It was the Justice Sandura's commission about the Willowgate scandal.
International Day of Truth was proclaimed on 25th December 2010 by the United Nations in honor of the slain El Salvador Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was assassinated while defending human rights in March 1980. The day was also set aside to pay tribute to people around the world who have devoted their lives to and have lost their lives in the struggle to promote and protect human rights for all. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Ata Chigoriwa.
MDCT National Youth Chairperson Happy Mochidziva was allegedly assaulted by uniformed soldiers in Harare Central Business District last night as the purge targeting opposition figures and human rights defenders continues. Thomas Shiripasi has more details from Harare.
The national chairperson of the youth wing of the Morgan Tsvangirai-led MDC, Happy Mochidziva, told Studio 7 that he had to be treated at a local clinic after he was allegedly assaulted by some unidentified soldiers who were traveling in a marked light vehicle. Chidziva, who sustained bruises on his face and body and had a swollen eye, thinks he is being targeted because he is a senior opposition figure.
Yes, around the 1800 hours yesterday when I was going home, at Total Garage in Samora Machel. I was confronted by five soldiers from Ingomo Barracks who asked me to get out of the car. Then I was refusing and they tried to force to bring me out. Then I said, no, wait, let me come out. The time when I come out, I thought they wanted to talk to me, but no. They started dragging me, beating up with fists and claps and kicks. And they were calling me a sellout, someone from the MDC, you're selling the nation, why are you doing these MDC activities? And the other was calling me saying, hey, get down, go down, sit down. And I have the kicks. It was only after another police guy just come for my rescue and asked them what was the problem. And they all ran away into their Golf VW with the plate number ACA3738.
When Studio 7 caught up with him following the alleged assault, he was yet to make a report to the police. Chidziva said the authorities should rein in security forces and agents whom he says are on the prowl, violating citizens' rights.
The state right now is the real problem in the violence that is going across the country. State violence. Recently we have Chitungu is away. One of us suffers a broken leg because of the police. In Redcliffe, we have our youth beaten up by the soldiers. Yesterday, it was me being beaten up by soldiers again. And I think this is the time now for the government to arrest these culprits and put them to prison so that they start doing professional activities in their workplace.
Chidziva added that the actions of the uniformed forces are now a threat to national security and warned that young Zimbabweans may soon be forced to retaliate.
We are a peace-loving movement in the youth assembly. But however, what this government is doing right now with these state agents, the soldiers and the police, that can cause havoc in the nation. And what they are just doing is igniting fire. And I have nothing to say, expect to say, this government is now igniting fire.
National Police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba, said she was unable to comment on Chidziva's case because the police are yet to receive a report of the incident. Meanwhile, political analyst and director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, Pedzisai Ruhanya, tells Studio 7 that President Robert Mugabe must ensure that members of the uniformed forces respected the country's constitution.
Firstly, we have to understand that the ruling party is failing to respond to the changing political economy of the state, which is now hinged on the need to address the question of livelihoods in Zimbabwe. So the reforms that are there in the espoused in the constitution are not being implemented. And at the regional and international level, it tells that Mugabe is beyond redemption.
The alleged assault of the MDCT youth leader comes at a time when the nation is still guessing on the whereabouts of pro-democracy activist and former journalist Itai Dzamara, who was reportedly abducted by suspected state security agents in Harare's Glenview Hide-and-Seek suburb on March 9. Dzamara and his organization, the Occupy Africa Unity Square, are calling for President Robert Mugabe to step down for allegedly failing to run the country democratically and pushing Zimbabwe's economy into the abyss. Local civil society organizations and foreign governments, including the United States and the European Union, are criticizing Zamara's alleged abduction, while Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa has promised that his abductors would be brought to book if apprehended. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thanks, Thomas. Meanwhile, human rights lawyer Rumbidzai Dube says the government has an obligation to search for missing activist Itai Dzamara and reconcile him with his family. Dube, a 2014 Yali fellow who was attached at the University of Virginia, joins other human rights advocates in pushing the state to locate Dzamara. Dube sat down with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo on her recent visit to Washington, D.C.
The case of Itai Dzamara is worrying to many of us who have worked very closely with human rights and in the human rights sector. It brings forth memories of the disappearance of Justina Mokoko. Not to say that the situation is the same, because at the moment we're not sure what is happening with Itai, who has taken him. And the evidence has not yet clearly shown who is responsible for his disappearance. But the fundamental thing at the center of it all is that the state has an obligation to investigate and to find out what happened to Itai. And given the nature of his work and everything that he had been doing, I think it is reasonable for people to suspect that it could have been political interference, and it is politically motivated, his disappearance here. So it is worrying. I hope he is found alive, and he needs to be reconciled with his family. It is a very worrying development, yeah.
And what's your take on the issue of human rights in general in Africa?
Human rights in Africa are developing, and the presence of the African Commission on Human and People's Rights and the African Court, which is based in Arusha, and the Commission, which is based in Banjul, is testament to the fact that we are making progress.
That was human rights lawyer Rumbidzai Dube speaking to Studio 7's and Ntungameli Nkomo right here in Washington.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, how much is Harare prepared to do to lure international investors? But first, a look at regional and international news. France's transport minister today said that none of the 150 people aboard the Airbus A320 jetliner that crashed in the French Alps survived the accident. Alain Vidalis said a distress call was heard from the German Wings flight from Barcelona, Spain, to Dusseldorf, Germany at 10:47 a.m. local time, about 52 minutes after takeoff, as it passed over a remote, snowy region in southeastern France. Afghanistan President Ashraf Ghani meets U.S. President Barack Obama at the White House today amid questions about the future U.S. military presence in the war-torn country. And British Prime Minister David Cameron says he will not seek a third term at 10 Downing Street if his Conservative Party wins the upcoming parliamentary elections. As reported earlier, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa today said Harare is committed to maintaining the rule of law in the country in its efforts to lure foreign investment. Investors have shunned Zimbabwe since its bloody and chaotic land reforms that started in 2000 and were followed by requests on companies to cede majority shareholdings to local blacks. For perspective on Zimbabwe's preparedness to lure international investors into the country, reporter Standekile Mhlanga spoke to political analyst and ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya and MDCT Sibulawa Central Legislator Dorcas Sibanda, a member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committees on Budget and Finance.
If you look at it in a local person, he wants to come up with a factory or he wants to do any other business, yes, you will need lots and lots of papers. You know, you need this certificate, you need that certificate. You need, at the end of the day, it discourages people. So there is also need for us to look at our policies, play around with them, make sure they are conducive, make sure they are also inviting. should be able to invite foreign investment. Well, there's no way we can run away from that.
Mr. Ngwenya, can you say that the country's policies need to be revamped to encourage international investors?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's not really about policies. Of course, there are one or two policies that might need explaining, especially to the foreigners, that is the indigenization laws and the policies aligned to that law. But if we look at what's happening really, the Zimbabwean economy is also affected by the global economic situation whereby most countries are struggling economically. Therefore, it becomes difficult for Zimbabwe in trying to resuscitate its economy that was destroyed deliberately by some political parties that called for sanctions. And in this effort to revive the economy, I see Zimbabwe having a very good atmosphere. That is why we are getting a lot of interest from several people from several nations. But for foreign investors, I think really what is disturbing them is Zimbabwe's debt and perhaps the relations to the Bretton Woods institution, that is the IMF and the World Bank. But in terms of the environment, well, everyone can agree that in Zimbabwe there is peace and the environment for investing is quite well. Unfortunately, we have some people who they want to cry here and there that there's no rule of law, yet they are planning unnecessary demonstrations at the moment that will really disturb all that confidence that the investors have taken upon Zimbabwe.
What recommendations have you made to the finance minister in parliament to improve the economy, Sibant?
We have always said something, an investor come in the country. They are the ones who have brought in the capital. You can't say you're taking 52% of the capital. You are leaving that 10% with 48% or 42%. It doesn't make sense. And also the political situation needs to be looked at a close range. And recently we had adaptions or there's this journalist all over the newspapers, things like that. With demonstrations, we agreed if we are not happy, we are allowed. It's in our constitution to demonstrate. Anyone can do that. We've seen it happening in South Africa. We've seen it happening elsewhere. So that's our democratic right to do that. Because even if we try and pretend or we try and sing as legislators or as politicians to say all is well when things are not well, eventually it catches up with us.
Yes, thank you. And your take, Mr. Ngwenya?
Well, I think the Minister of Finance should really work hard to support the SMEs that are driving this economy. They are bringing in employment 80% and more than 60% contributing to the GDP. Therefore, I think that is the sector that needs to be supported as well as the manufacturing sector. There is need for efforts to repay the debts or to negotiate to have those debts written off, as well as really restoring or maintaining the confidence that the investors have shown in Zimbabwe.
That was political analyst and ZANU-PF activist Maurice Ngwenya on the line from Harare. You also heard the views of MDCT's Bulawayo Central legislator Dorcas Sibanda, a member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Budget and Finance, on the line with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. The MDCT's National Standing Committee met in Harare this morning and resolved to uphold its Congress resolution on boycotting all elections until electoral reforms are instituted in the country. The MDCT has been under pressure from within its ranks to participate by elections to fill parliamentary seats left vacant following the party's move to recall 21 MPs who joined the MDC renewal team. By-elections are expected in 14 of the 21 constituencies. Party spokesman Obet Gutu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the National Standing Committee will forward its decision to the party's National Council.
I can confirm to the millions of listeners right now that the National Standing Committee of the MDC met this morning at Harvest House in Harare, and we unanimously agreed that we shall not participate in any elections in Zimbabwe until such a time that all the electoral reforms that we have insisted should be put in place have been put in place. As it is now, none of those reforms have been put in place. In fact, we have a role for the Chirumanzu Zimbabwe constituency that we used as a case study in our meeting. And when we analyzed the role, we realized that it was actually in a shambles. It was so gerrymandered that there is no way that a free and fair election can be achieved using that kind of gerrymandering. So the position of the party is that we as the National Standing Committee, we are going to recommend to the National Council, which is the highest decision-making body of the party in between Congresses, that we should uphold the resolution of Congress that clearly and unequivocally stated that we shall not participate in any elections until such a time that the electoral reforms have been carried out.
That was MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu in Harare speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. And meanwhile, with by-elections to fill 5 parliamentary seats drawing closer, the National Constitutional Assembly's candidate in the Chiruma Zimbabwe by-election, Munashe Mutoza, says he's being targeted by suspected ZANU-PF members for contesting in the poll. Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa's wife, Auxilia, is one of the 5 candidates who will battle it out Friday to replace Mr. Mnangagwa. Other candidates in the by-election are Abigail Rumbidzai Musambisi of Transform Zimbabwe, Gadzamoyo Dewa of the Good People's Movement Party, and independent candidate Wilbrod Ganoti. Reporter Jonga Kandemiri spoke earlier with Mutoza.
Here in Chiruma Zimbabwe, we've got the problem of some people come and victimize us as we go around in campaigning, but it's not a serious problem that we have.
Have you managed to get copies of the voters' roll?
The copies of that voters' roll, I get it just 2 days ago. But it's difficult for me that, to check that voters' roll, because it's the time that I have is so short.
What are you promising voters in Chiruma Zimbabwe?
We are saying we can give good accommodation, good relationship with the others, and so on and so on.
Munashe Mutoza is the National Constitutional Assembly's candidate for the Chiruma Zimbabwe constituency. He was speaking with Jonga Kandemiri of Studio 7 from Chiruma. Coming up, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States joined nations and leaders around the world in condemning the attack on 2 Christian churches in Lahore, Pakistan, by suicide bombers. A faction of the Pakistani Taliban claimed responsibility for the blasts that killed 17 and wounded more than 70 people during Sunday services on March 15th. The attack is the latest in a series of assaults on the small Christian community in Pakistan. In addition to Christians, other religious minority communities in Pakistan have suffered at the hands of violent extremists. Earlier this year, for example, there were a series of attacks on Shia mosques by Sunni militant groups that resulted in more than 80 fatalities. After strongly condemning the bombings in Lahore, State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki extended our deepest condolence to the families of the victims and said the United States stands in solidarity with the people and government of Pakistan in confronting this type of extremist violence. Pakistan's Interior Minister Chaudhry Nisar Ali Khan denounced the church bombings as an inhuman act of terrorism. Pakistan's Ulema Council Chairman, Allama Tahir Ashrafi, joined other religious, civil society, and business leaders in Lahore in deploring the attacks. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned the attacks in the strongest terms, noting that the Pakistani Taliban has claimed responsibility for the attacks while threatening to carry out more such acts in the future. President Barack Obama has stated that all people must speak up against those who would misuse God's name to justify oppression or violence or hatred. No God condones terror or the oppression of those who are weaker or fewer in number. The United States, as State Department spokesperson Psaki said after the church attacks in Lahore, supports the right of every person to practice religion without fear of intimidation, death, coercion, or any form of reprisal. This is a basic human right both in Pakistan and throughout the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts on The Connection, Tatenda Kumbo and Dungameli Nkomo, will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the youth and drug abuse. And now to quickly recap today's top stories. Human rights lawyer Rumbidzai Dube says the government has an obligation to search for missing activist Itai Dzamara. And Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says Zimbabwe is committed to upholding the rule of law. That's all we had for you tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.